start in the transportation hearing. So what I'm going to do is start on open the public hearing portion of House Bill 5007, which is the Gorge Commission budget, and have the agency director come forward. And the committee had some questions about some issues that arose out of public testimony yesterday, and we asked for further information on a couple of the cases that were brought forward to us. And Claire, I was hoping that you would be able to give us some background as to the what your files indicated happened with those two situations.
Certainly, I'd be happy to. Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Claire Pucci, Director of the Columbia River Gorge Commission. I was asked to address two of the cases that you heard about yesterday in testimony. One dealt with a very tragic, unfortunate situation with the Royce family, their property, their house, and some outbuildings. Were damaged very severely by a flood event and a debris flow in 1996, as you may recall their story. I did check with the Multnomah County Planning Department, because this is in Multnomah County, and this is covered under the Multnomah County Scenic Area Ordinance. It's not an issue that the Gorge Commission has been involved in directly at all. What Multnomah County Planning Department told me is that the Royce family does have a permit to replace both the house and their outbuildings that were destroyed. They do have a valid permit, and there are some conditions that the family does need to meet in order to move forward with the replacement of those buildings. Some of the conditions, as I understand it, have to do with safety concerns, and there is an issue, as I understand it, with the rocks and removal. They can be removed so that they can go forward with reconstructing those dwellings. But apparently there is an issue having to do with whether or not they can commercially use the rocks and sell them, or just simply remove them. Simple removal would be allowed under the Multnomah County ordinance, but a commercial operation would not be. And I think that's probably the crux of the matter that Multnomah County is dealing with right now.
Is there anything that the Gorge Commission can do to impact this situation one way or the other?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the Gorge Commission can try to encourage, you know, the parties to come together to resolve this, and obviously that's one of the things we can do, is to try to provide any technical assistance, any assistance we can provide to move the situation along, and we can do that. But at this point, it is a matter between the county and the family. So, but it has not gone to any kind of appeal or anything like that. This is at a permit level. And as I mentioned before, the family does have a valid permit to replace their dwellings once they can meet the conditions.
Representative Hanson.
There were a lot of issues that came up in 96 after the flooding and the landslides. A lot of them in that area concern, there are some real significant safety hazards that were discovered in 96. And there's a great many properties that are involved in controversy over, replacement seems real fair. It's just a basic common value. There, and I don't want to comment on the Royce situation because I've been away from it for a couple of years. But we had a lot of problems in terms of people that the county wanted to delay and put another overlay. It would point out, if somebody replaced a house, that there would be an awareness when that house was sold and that it was in a very hazardous situation. And that became an impediment to some of the replacements. There were also a lot of problems involving financing. There was some FEMA money to buy people out. And there got to be a lot of controversy in terms of what that level of funding is. Anyway, it was all up and down that part of the gorge. The 96 landslides created a great deal of problems for a lot of people, and then sorting the aftermath out got to be real complicated. And I don't know exactly where they fit in that situation, but. It would appear about every 70 years a similar type slide situation like that occurs, and it's a tough one to deal with.
Representative Krieger, did you have comments?
Just briefly, Madam Chair. In 77, I was on the governor's landslide task force that I think we looked at 700 slides. We didn't look at all of them, but there were 700 in basic Portland metro area, but a lot of them on the west side. And there was throughout Oregon on forest land, ag land, alluvial fans that had not had a flood on them for 100 to 200 years. In some instances, got one that year, a new deposit. Something we never experienced before, having been settled here that long, like the East Coast had been. And so people did jump to a lot of conclusions about what caused those landslides and what we might expect in future years. And so they did develop prohibitions under the Forest Practice Act that have to do with slopes and type of soils and that type of thing. But not those rules don't apply on all lands, just on forest lands. So it was going to be up to the counties and to develop, under other rules, goals, prohibitions in certain areas. And that's, was it, maybe the senator remembers, was it Senate Bill 12 the year after that had to do with liability from landslides and things of that nature came into being? And probably some of this all kind of mingles and relates.
Are there any more questions on the situation about the house and the rock slide?
It's unique to see the first time you look out the window and your head comes back around. You've got this house sitting out there. These rocks have gone through it and all around it up, I don't know what, that high around the house. And it wasn't there one year and the next year it was there. It's still sitting there.
We have the good senator joining us. What I would like to do now is recess the Columbia River Gorge Commission public hearing, open a work session on Senate Bill 5530, which is the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And we are here today to okay the budget notes that we didn't have in the final form the last time we went around it. What my intent to do here is to take into each of these budget notes individually and basically pass them with if there is no opposition to them. So, Mr. Fletcher, could you begin stepping us through them?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. John Fletcher, Legislative Fiscal Office. Just to refresh your memory, in our previous work session, we had these same budget notes in concept. This is the official language that was developed to go along with those concepts. This language has been developed in concert with several of the members of this subcommittee as well as with the department. The director reviewed these again this morning and assured me that they were okay with this language. We have as the first budget note the regional problem solving phase out. This budget note accompanies what was already passed by this subcommittee in the budget and simply calls for the regional problem solving positions to continue for a year but then to be phased out, and the budget dollars are also specified in the budget note.
Excuse me.
Don't go too far away.
Yeah. If you need to have a tiebreaker, let me know.
No, we'll be tabled, but I have to leave a little tiebreaker. Okay. We get to Astoria.
Sorry. Oh, golly.
Well, here we are. That's Chris.
Okay, so again, the first budget note is on regional problem solving. And it phases out the positions. The budget was already approved that would correspond to this, but this specifically indicates that positions are not to be included in the 2003-05 budget.
The chair will accept a motion to accept this budget note and include it in the budget for House Bill, or rather Senate Bill 5530.
Are you looking for a motion?
Yes.
So moved, Madam Chairman, yeah. Unless I'm running over the motion.
No, you're not. I was going to do that, but you're not running over me at all. So
we have a motion on the table. Is there discussion on the motion? Representative Hansen.
I still am opposed to the concept, but I think the wording of the budget note probably gets to what is relevant to what the budget that was adopted
probably
says. So I'm not objecting to the wording of the budget note.
Okay. Is there anyone objecting to including this budget note? Then without objection, this budget note is included. Can we go to the next budget now?
Budget note two is about the efforts on aggregate planning, and the department is directed to work closely with aggregate planning done by local government.
Do I have a motion to accept this budget note and include it?
So moved.
Discussion on the motion? Opposition to the motion? Without opposition, the motion is adopted. Can we have the next budget note?
This budget note allocates money for the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area Act grant. This was not brought up in concept before, but was included at the request of the Legislative Fiscal Office for your consideration. The department has reviewed these amounts, and these were planned amounts, I believe, anyway. But it specifies for the biennium the amount of grant money that will be worked on for the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area Act. This budget note is the same budget note that was in the 9901 budget, but it's been carried forward to, again, provide that direction to the department for 0103 as well.
Madam Chairman, I would like to move this budget note, and if there's a opportunity for a little bit of discussion, I'll add that, because I think my colleague had a question, and I'll make it very brief.
I will accept the motion and open for discussion.
Well, my question was only to him was, why are we giving your counties money? But if you wait two more budget notes, we're giving some of my money, too, and some of Representative
if
Krieger.
If she's going to withdraw her question, I'll withdraw my answer.
Oh, if it'll move it along, you betcha.
Is there any opposition to including budget note number three in the budget? Hearing none, the motion to include the budget note is accepted. Let's go to the fourth one.
Fourth budget note is a budget note that came out of a request from the Coastal Caucus to find out more specifically about the staff and the work that is actually being done on coastal issues. It requires the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to conduct an audit. This audit will be done essentially by the Legislative Fiscal Office. It will be done during the interim, won't be any additional cost in conducting the audit, but we will verify the time spent by the internal staff of DLCD on coastal issues. And currently, they have people that divide their time on various things, so this will help us to identify specifically total coastal positions in total. And we would do that during the interim.
Madam Chair, I would move approval or adoption or whatever we do with these budget notes. This
one. We have a motion to include this budget note with the budget. Is there any opposition to that? Without opposition, the motion is adopted. Can we go to the fifth one?
Budget note five talks about the grant money for coastal grants during the first year of the biennium, or the 2001-02 federal grant year. And it specifies, as we pass the budget, that $340,000 would go to grants for coastal cities and counties, and the remainder would be used to meet minimum federal requirements, as we discussed. That budget we have already passed, but this talks about the language to that there would be a plan developed in collaboration with the coastal local governments that would help to ensure the appropriate distribution of those grant funds.
Madam Chair, I'll move adoption of budget note number five.
Discussion on the motion, opposition to the motion. Without opposition, the motion is adopted. We go over the page to budget note number six.
And budget note number six is similar to number five, except it's for the second year of the biennium. For this year, the budget note again calls for a plan. However, since we don't know the federal funding that will be connected with the second year, first of all, we're going to see what that is. Then the plan will be developed, and that plan will be submitted back to the emergency board. Upon acceptance of the plan, then there will be additional federal expenditure limitation that can be granted to the department that can help carry out the plan. So the budget note helps ensure that there is a coordinated plan that matches the federal funds as they are determined.
Madam Chair, I'll move adoption of budget note number six.
Discussion or opposition to adopting budget note number six? Seeing none, the motion is passed. We go to budget note number seven.
Okay, budget note number seven was a budget note at the request of this committee, which calls for the placing of several positions on the add-back list for consideration later in the session should the funds become available. There are four positions for the community development or the community solutions team's positions, and two positions for regional problem solving. And the dollar amounts here are listed. This would be additional general fund beyond the budget that was passed. And again, this is not a guarantee that these will be funded, but rather they would go on the add-back list.
Representative Nolan, would you like to make a motion?
Oh, yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I will move budget note number seven.
Are there comments or objections to budget note number seven?
Madam Chair.
Representative Krupp.
I object. I will not be voting in favor of this. I do not think these are appropriate positions. I think they are excess government. Levels of bureaucracy that have not been proven to work. I think this $1 million is better spent other places. I do not approve.
So noted. Further objections? With the Representative Krupp's objection noted, the motion passes. I will close the work session. Are we done? On Senate Bill 5530 and reopen the public hearing on House Bill 5007 and call again forward the director and her staff.
Is that okay if I go on when it comes in?
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't need anybody there.
Thank you very much for accommodating that flip there. The I believe the second case that we were interested in discussing involved a structure that burnt, and the information that was brought forward to us involved difficulty in rebuilding. And we were wondering if you could give us some information that was in your files concerning that case.
Certainly, Madam Chair.
Is this the colored roof screws? The colored roof screws?
No, I think that's another issue.
Is it? Oh, okay. The colored roof screws. I just wondered.
Oh,
it's a loop answer yesterday.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, again, for the record, Claire Pucci, Director of the Gorge Commission. Yes, I would be happy to talk about the situation that was described to you by the family who said that they did have a structure that did burn and they wanted to rebuild. I double-checked our rules. This was in Clickitat County, so this is a situation which is under the jurisdiction of the Gorge Commission for permitting. And under the rules, a legally permitted house or barn or any other kind of structure, if it is destroyed by fire or other means, is absolutely permitted for rebuilding, for replacement in kind, no question about it. The situation in this particular case was different. This was a situation where the structure that burned was not a legally approved house. It was an agricultural shop building. And so under the rules, this is something that would not necessarily be allowed. The situation is that the Gorge Commission has not denied any kind of a request. There has not been a request. We do not have a request in front of us to deny or approve for replacement. And so we have encouraged in the past the family to make application, and then we could consider that situation. But we don't have a request in front of us to review. So,
Madam Chair.
Representative Cook.
Thank you. Claire, have you ever issued, since the Gorge Commission Act and the foundation of the rules and so forth, have you ever issued a rebuild permit for a burned down structure?
Members of the committee and Representative Krupp, since I have been director and it has not been that long, I'm not aware that there has been a request for a replacement of a structure that has been burned down. I would guess, I would wager that in the 14, 15 years or so that we've been in existence, there have been a number of these would be routinely granted in-kind replacement outright. So.
Follow-up, Representative.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. You mentioned that in the rules that it specifically states that it can be rebuilt, and you use the words in kind, and that gets to this issue of that these folks were living in a home that was in a converted agricultural building, correct?
Members of the Commission, Representative Krupp, the building that burned was a building that was a structure that was an agricultural shop building. Whether or not they were living in it is something I cannot comment on, but
okay,
they could have rebuilt it as an agricultural shop building, which was the approved use. But what is not allowed under the rules is to have a situation where a shop building, agricultural shop building, burns down, and then you can put a house there instead.
Yeah.
That's a different procedure, and you can make application to build a house, and then that would go through review. But to substitute a house for an agricultural building is not allowed. So.
Okay.
Representative Krieger.
There was some, Madam Chair, there was some information yesterday, statements, I think on two occasions, regarding archaeological study that had to be done before you put the house back. How did that ever get to be when these people had a house there? Could have rototilled up their whole yard and planted it in garden. Be rototilling and causing more disturbance than putting a house in. Now, can you explain to me what takes place?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, and Representative Krieger. I believe the testimony you heard yesterday had to do, I'm not sure it was this particular case, but one of the cases presented had to do with a requirement that they mentioned for an archaeological survey costing, I think, upwards of $7,000, something like that. And again, here, I think there was a bit of misinformation presented. Under our rules, under the county rules, for any kind of development, there is no requirement for landowners to pay for an archaeological survey. The Forest Service does employ an archaeologist, and at no cost to landowners, that person does go out, if there's a probability, a high probability of an archaeological site, to do a survey, a very very cursory survey, to see if there's a very high probability of disturbance of a sacred or archaeological site. But again, no cost to the landowner. And one of the things that we're working with tribal governments is to put together what's called a probability map so that landowners, Gorge Commission, county, knows where these areas of high probability of archaeological sites are. But those are done fairly quickly and again, at no cost to the landowner.
Further questions? Representative Krieger, did you want to follow up?
Not right now.
Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In following on Representative Krieger's, looking at the Gale Castle story here from yesterday, and is what you were just describing the same as a cultural resource review?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, and Representative Krupp, there are two different kinds of what we might call cultural resource survey. There can be archaeological surveys and then historic surveys. Historic surveys being for structures that are 50 years or older. So there are two different kinds that are covered in gorge ordinances. In the case of the castle situation, that had to do not with archaeological, but with a structure that was older than 50 years.
Okay, so Madam Chair, if I may, why do you have to do a cultural resource review on a structure that's older than 50 years that is going to cost this person, according to your staff attorney, as much as $1,500?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, and Representative Krupp, under the Gorge Commission rules, and this is true in every Gorge County, not just in Klickitat County, there is a requirement to do a survey of any structure that is older than 50 years old to determine what the historic values are. That is not to say that you cannot demolish that building, but the documentation needs to take place to make sure that there's a record of the history. Sometimes it's architectural significance of a structure. In the case of Ms. Castle, I'm not at liberty, because of a settlement agreement, to discuss price and who funded this, but it was done in less than a week's time. It is not one of those situations that adds a great deal of time to this. She alluded to the fact that I believe, I think it was the Forest Service had determined that there was not significance, and that is in fact the case. But under the rules, the state historic preservation officers also review those surveys and have the ability to comment. And in this case, the Washington State Historic Preservation Office raised some red flags and thought there might be a possibility of some important historic significance. So that was the requirement from the State Historic Preservation Office to, in fact, document that before it was demolished.
Okay, Madam Chair. So what you're telling me is the Gorge Commission rules allow for all of these other agencies to review, including the Forest Service, of a historical significance, potential historical significance of a structure, so that if I had an old barn and I was living in the Gorge and I wanted to tear that barn down, I would have to go through this review process before I was allowed to tear my own structure down. Is that what you're telling me?
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, members of the committee, under the Gorge Commission rules, anybody who applies for a permit, we have a public review comment period, and the counties have a public review comment period before a permit is issued. Notice is sent out to tribal governments, to Fish and Wildlife departments, and other agencies, state agencies, for comment, as well as the State Historic Preservation Offices. And this came up in the course of public review. The flag was raised that there might be historic significance. And so at that point, that automatically triggers a requirement to document the significance before the permit is issued for demolition. But Ms. Castle has her permit and clearance to demolish, and satisfied with all the conditions of those permits.
Since we're talking about the Castle case, it was stated, well, first off, can you tell me why she was denied originally? From what I've read so far, this woman has an older two-story home, over 50 years of age, and wanted to build a new single-story home basically 10 feet away. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, members of the committee, that's basically correct. What was not mentioned is that it was also 25 feet closer to the rim of the gorge. It was 10 feet laterally, but there was also a factor of distance that put her in the minds of at least me as director, and I will take responsibility for the initial decision, more prominent in terms of visibility from key viewing areas. And in the gorge, there are specific key viewing areas identified in the management plan, one of which is the Tom McCall Preserve. And it was determined by our planners that it was this proposal to replace in a slightly different location would make it more visible from key viewing areas. After that permit was denied because of the factors I just mentioned, it did go to the Commission on Appeal, and the Commission overturned that decision, and the permit now has been granted. And there are conditions in the permit which she is satisfied with that provide some screening and other means to make it less visible from the Tom McCall Preserve.
So, Madam Chair, a two-story house that gets torn down is a worse problem than a single-story house next to it in terms of viewing. Is that, in essence, what the determination was?
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, and members of the committee.
It just seems to me a two-story home is a fairly, you can't miss them. They're there. A single-story home is a much lower profile. I just have difficulty with that logic. I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, members of the committee, this gets into some nuts and bolts that have to do with what is an in-kind replacement and whether 10 feet and 25 feet is in-kind, same footprint, or whether it's close enough. And the commission did determine that by replacing it 10 feet away, 25 feet in the other direction, was close enough to be considered basically in kind. So that was the commission determination, and that is how we're proceeding, how we did proceed.
Okay, Madam Chair, I'll finish here shortly. It's noted in here on that there was a gag rule placed on talking about the case. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, members of the committee, no, that is not correct at all. We went into settlement talks with Ms. Castle and her attorney, and as you probably, most of you know, when you go into legal settlement talks, there are certain things that you mutually agree to disclose and not disclose. And so what we agreed to mutually are certain things that they're mutual agreement, I guess is my statement. There is no gag rule imposed whatsoever. The commission does not do that.
Was who's Ann Squire?
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, members of the committee, Ann Squire is the chair of the Columbia River Gorge Commission.
Did she at a commission meeting actually announce that there was a gag rule in place in the Castle case and that it would not be discussed again?
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, members of the committee. No, I don't recall ever hearing her say that, nor is that factual. But no, when I did give a director's report to the commission because they wanted an update on how this case was proceeding, and I mentioned to them that we had entered into settlement talks and had reached mutual a permit would be issued a few days later, which it was, and that under the terms of the agreement by all parties, I could not disclose all the details of that, but that was not a statement from the chair. That was my statement.
Thank you. Last question is, yesterday it was alluded to your outreach director had responded to a letter by one of the ladies who was here testifying in the local newspaper, and that letter was signed by your outreach director, who's an employee of your agency, and a representative of the Friends of the Gorge. Is that a factual representation of what happened?
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, members of the committee, I am not aware of any such letter that has been signed by our public outreach coordinator and the Friends of the Gorge. And if anyone has a copy of that, I would very much like to see it. But it is not our policy to do joint letters, and I'm not aware of anything like that.
Okay, thank you.
There are further comments or questions for the director? Seeing none, what I'll do then is close the public hearing, go into work session, and have Mr. Rocco present LFO's recommendation for the budget.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've provided before we do that, I'd like to point out we did receive one more piece of public testimony that, for the record, has been distributed to all members. It's a letter, handwritten letter, that looks like this. I've also provided members with a memo describing the LFO recommendations, a spreadsheet that has the detail of those recommendations, and then a hand-engrossed bill that just reflects purely what LFO is recommending, and that does not mean that it cannot be changed by the committee by any means. If you would start on the memo on the the bottom of the first page is a summary of what the total LFO recommended changes to the budget represent. Basically, it's a 8.8% increase from the 9901 legislatively adopted budget and a 4.7% increase from what LFO is using as the current service level. Or, I'm sorry, from the unadjusted 9901 estimated expenditure level. It is a reduction of about 7.7% from the governor's printed budget. The recommendation includes $689,056 for the joint program, which includes a special purpose appropriation to the emergency board that we'll discuss in a few minutes. And $31,660 for Oregon commissioner expenses. And as you recall, the agreement between the states of Oregon and Washington require a matching for the joint operating program, but not for commissioner expenses. And that's one reason why we're separating the two, is so that there is a clarity of what should be matched and what shouldn't be matched. On the page 2, number 1, this is an issue that developed during the whole process of budget development, and it's one of the outcomes of the difficulty of this budget being a combined budget with the state of Washington. The state of Washington's system is different than ours. They function on a different time frame, and in the past 2 years, I think we've made some improvements in communication between the Department of Administrative Services in Oregon, the Office of Financial Management in Washington, and Legislative Fiscal in Oregon to come up with some better flow of information about the budget. However, this time there were a couple of things that happened that we did not capture in time for the budget. And this long description here on page 2 describes those events and what happened. During budget development, the agency, the Gorge Commission, LFO, and Budget and Management had agreed at a certain current service level number, which was a priceless adjustment of a little over $65,000. And this was more than what most agencies would receive in terms of current service level increases, because we tried to accommodate an emergency board action that occurred in late in 2000 to address certain salary equity issues that we had between the two states' processes that are different. After that number was developed, the governor's recommended budget came out with a higher number than what we had agreed to. It was higher by $53,370. And when we developed our recommended budget, we basically said that we were eliminating that increase because of that we had already accommodated part of the increase. And the other part was due to a change in the way the state of Washington calculates attorney general costs. Since then, you've heard from Budget and Management that of that $53,370 difference, Budget and Management has stated that approximately $27,000 of that was due to a miscalculation of the state of Washington, because they didn't adjust their number, their starting number, to what we had done. So there's a discrepancy here of about $26,000 between what the governor's revised budget believes is current service level and what Legislative Fiscal is saying is current service level. Based on that, we're still recommending a reduction of $53,370 general fund to the governor's printed recommended budget.
So, excuse me, Madam Chair, 26,000 of that 53,000 is essentially a math error.
Madam Chair, Senator Farioli, I think about 27,000 is a math error.
Okay.
Questions or comments? Representative Nola.
Thank you, Madam Chair. $27,000 is a math error or an accounting error. The remaining $26,000 is the amount you say in your memo is attributable to a change in the way the Washington State AG charges.
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, the best we can figure out at this time, that's the primary reason for the difference. There's also included in that are some other charges that the Office of Financial Management requires the commission to pay for other kinds of services, just like our Department of Administrative Services charges state agencies.
And a quick, just so I understand, Madam Chair, follow-up. So if we don't appropriate that money, but the commission still gets dinged for those bills, their option is to take it out of the rest of their budget, either reduce staffing or reduce other supplies and services that they might be doing.
That would be correct, yes.
Further questions or comments? Let's move ahead then.
On page three, item B, this is a LFO adjustment package that would reduce the services and supplies by a total of $6,574. This is based on the co-chair's decision to look for general fund savings within non-fixed services and supplies and the committee's use of a 3% target figure. The way this was calculated, since all of the the Columbia River Gorge expenses that Oregon provides is provided as an SNS category. It's a one-line category. But since about 68.5% of those funds are used for staff and they're not SNS type activities, we reduced the base that 3% was taken from by that 68.5%, again as an equity issue. So the 3% of the remainder came to a total of $6,574.
Questions or comments on the adjustment for services and supplies?
Madam Chair, just one quick question. This does not reflect or impact the contribution made by the state of Washington?
Madam Chair, Senator Hand, it would, because anything that Oregon reduces, there's an equivalent reduction to the state by the state of Washington.
Maybe you can get into this in a moment then. The amount of money that is used to match Oregon and Washington, part of it goes to, is it Klickitat County that doesn't have a planning?
That's yes. Correct.
Or land use planning. So if we reduce this and we reduce the money that goes to Klickitat, or are we going to increase the money that goes to Klickitat?
We have a budget note. In fact, it's the next budget note that deals with.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should have waited. I was just wondering if this was going to impact that reduction.
No, Madam Chair or Senator Hannon, no, it would not affect that.
Okay.
Further questions or comments on the 3% reduction to SNS? Please proceed, Mr. Rocker.
Madam Chair, then on page three, item C is a adjustment package that has a rather lengthy explanation. Again, this is a special purpose appropriation to the emergency board of $40,000 that is recommended based on language that's included in the state of Washington appropriation measures. There's a copy of that language attached to the back of this memo. And this has not been finally passed by the state of Washington. This is their current Senate bill. The House bill, I think, is being voted on within this week. This language, however, has appeared in at least the last session and probably before that. So it's fairly standard language for the state of Washington. The reason for the emergency board appropriation, special purpose appropriation, would be to protect the state of Oregon if, in fact, the Klickitat County adopts ordinances and the money is removed from the Gorge Commission's budget as directed by the state of Washington's appropriation language. Until that occurs, the Gorge Commission is responsible to implement the Scenic Area Act within Klickitat County, and all of their expenses need to be shared between the state of Oregon and Washington, because that's how the compact was set up and that's how the National Scenic Area Act was set up. So this, and there's some reasons listed here of why that budget note is necessary. The budget note is listed on the top of page 4, which says that the agency should report to the emergency board sometime between April 2002 and December 2002 on the status of Klickitat County's adoption of a scenic area management plan ordinances. And if the county has not adopted those ordinances, then the emergency board will be requested to appropriate that $40,000. Once it's appropriated, we would also expect the Department of Administrative Services just to unschedule that money through the allotment system in case Klickitat County adopts ordinances sometime later in the year. But it would not be held from the commission. It would be provided to them as they needed it based on the time that expires between when it's allocated and when the end of the biennium is.
Questions or comments?
Madam Chair.
Senator Hannah.
Now that we've moved to this issue, that's the question I was going to raise. By taking this money and putting it in the e-board, we will, in essence, wait until Washington acts to do something appropriate, and then we'll determine whether we release the money to the Commission Gorge or not. Is that what you're... In other words, we put the money in the e-board. Washington says, no, Klickitat County, you develop a plan. Then we don't appropriate the $40,000 in the e-board?
If they do the plan.
If the county does the plan. If the county doesn't do the plan, then the commission comes back and asks for the $40,000?
That's correct.
Okay.
And I'd like to clarify that it's not just if the county is directed to adopt ordinances. They would have to adopt the ordinances, and they'd have to be approved by the Gorge Commission as being in compliance with the federal act. And at that point, then they would, based on the state of Washington's language, if that occurs, the state of Washington withdraws money from their appropriation and gives it to Klickitat County in the form of a grant. And since we don't have a mechanism to match that process, then in the way we've appropriated money to the commission in the past, this would allow the emergency board to monitor that development.
And just to add a personal note here, this is one of the more bizarre aspects of this agreement that we have with Washington State. And it was difficult to work this through. Other questions or comments on the issue with Klickitat County? Let's proceed to budget note D.
Madam Chair, and then on page 4D is another budget note. This one is directed to the agency for to deal with the combination of these additional legal expenses the agency may incur, and to deal with the committee's express preference that they try to use more mediation and facilitation efforts than litigation. So the text of that budget note is there, and if there are any questions about that, I can address.
Representative Crow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I need to address this question to the director. In that regard of litigation, you are not a party to the litigation of the B case that's before the Washington Supreme Court?
Madam Chair, Representative, members of the committee, the case that has been appealed to the Washington Supreme Court, yes, we are part of that, but as defending, we have not initiated that. In other words, the commission's initial decision several years back was upheld by a superior court, and then that was appealed to the Washington Supreme Court. We did not object to that, and we are just defending, if you will. So we are a part of it, but we haven't initiated it.
And follow-up question. If the Bee case is decided by the Washington Supreme Court to be in favor of the Bee family, what does that mean? What would be the ultimate outcome of that in terms of how would that affect the Gorge Commission, your operation?
Madam Chair, Representative, members of the committee, that's hard to say because there are a number of issues involved here, and the court can do any number of things, totally agree with the commission, totally agree with the Bee family, or somehow split it apart in terms of various issues that are before them. So it's kind of difficult to say what that will actually entail or result in when a final decision is made, but...
Is the, Madam Chair, is the decision such that the way the case is being litigated, not being an attorney, and I would look to my friend here to give me guidance on that, but the way that the case is being litigated and the appeal to the Washington Supreme Court, does it have longer-term implications if the court rules on what they're being asked to rule on, more than just the Bee family and their particular case? Is it not have greater implications?
Madam Chair, Representative, members of the committee, it could. There is a possibility that it could say something about the commission's relationship with counties and at what point the commission can step in and comment or enter in and weigh in on a particular case. I just don't know how broad or narrow they will rule on this, but it could be a little bit broader than just the B. There could be implications, certainly.
Madam Chair, Claire, how much have you spent so far as being a part of that case?
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, members of the committee, personally as director, I have spent very little time on that other than the fact that I think I mentioned during my initial day of testimony that I initiated some settlement negotiation talks with a very high-profile case. It was the Bee case, and last summer I did ask for parties to try to get together to resolve this before it went to the Washington Supreme Court, trying to avoid that appeal. And I did sit in on those negotiation settlement talks for a day, a week, for I don't know, several weeks. It was sporadic, but it was not much of my time at all.
So you don't have a dollar figure for me in terms of how much your staff attorney has spent on this, how much time?
Madam Chair and Representative Krupp, members of the committee, I do have the information in my briefcase, and I'd be happy to get that for you.
That's
but
fine.
I will, off the top of my head, indicate that it is I would have to grab my briefcase, I think, but it is thinking even it's a fraction of just the portion of our expenditures for legal on defending cases. There are only two in which we are defending. This is only one of them. And I think together those are maybe a third of some of our expenditures. So it is just a fraction of money that we are spending on appeals or, you know, hearing citizen appeals or other legal matters.
Okay, thank you.
Are there comments or questions on budget note D? Let's proceed to budget note E.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Page 4 E is a budget note that came out of the committee's discussions about obtaining some more detailed budget information since our automated budget information system provides this one line item that just says professional services. So this budget note directs the agency next budget request include a more detailed information on actual and proposed expenditures by the categories that you saw on that one sheet that had personal services. Services and supplies broken down by categories, and those categories would include the legal services such as citizen appeals, litigation, and mediation facilitation. The budget note also directs them to include current position descriptions so that the next legislature will have an idea of what these positions do and what their functions are. And then finally, the budget note just states that the intent of this is to try to connect the core mission of the agency with the proposed budget, which is sometimes hard to do when all you have is a one-line kind of a budget.
Questions or comments on this budget note? Please proceed, yeah. Mr. Rocco.
On page 5, item F is a budget note that expresses the committee's interest in obtaining some additional performance measure data primarily regarding surveys of public and customer satisfaction with commission processes, outputs, and performance. It also includes a direction that some consistent reporting be done on a set of measures so that the next legislature can see some historical trends and data, begin that process of developing some sets of data regarding performance measures.
Questions or comments on budget note F? Let's proceed to budget note G.
Page 5, item G. This budget note is designed to reflect the subcommittee's expectation that if any legislative oversight committees establish, that the agency cooperate with that, especially in the areas of developing customer satisfaction performance measures and discussions that will be occurring in the Gorge on scenic area management plan review.
Questions or comments on the legislative oversight budget note?
Move we adopt. We're moving. I have another meeting I need to be to in about 3 minutes.
Blah. Well, let's go for broke here.
All right. Madam Chair, the next, that's the total, just the total LFO recommendations for the joint operating program. There's one slight adjustment to commissioner expenses, which is to reduce out-of-state travel by 1%. Again, this was a direction by the co-chairs, and that is a total of $72 of general fund money. And this does not have to be matched by the state of Washington since it is in that section of the budget that is
matched. Is that primarily bridge fare going across the Columbia River?
I want to know whose take-home bill this one is.
Pardon me?
We'll let you have it, Mayor.
I said I want to know whose take-home bill this
is. The $72,
sir.
Is for Central Oregon University.
we can give it to PC.
I think we're degenerating here. Let's move ahead. I've got to go.
Madam Chair, members, then finally, there's at the bottom of page 5 and into page 6, there is the language that is reflected in the hand-engrossed bill that I've provided, which shows a general fund amount of for operating expenses of $649,056, $31,660 for commissioner expenses, and there is an addition of section 2 which adds another $40,000 as a special purpose appropriation to the e-board, but that should be considered as part of the joint operating program of the commission, which raises their operating appropriation to $689,056.
Chair will accept a motion to move House Bill, the LFO recommendation for House Bill 5007 to the full committee with a due pass.
So moved.
So moved as amended.
By acclamation.
Is there any opposition?
I object.
I would have to talk for just a moment. Some input, if you don't mind.
Representative Krieger.
I took some notes down yesterday. I'll make this as quick as I can.
Okay.
Conflicting information, letter from Friends of Gorge with outreach coordinator gave me some concern. Some of the commission rules, the time, the gag rule reference. I wrote down abuse, poor communication, arrogance, lack of concern. Public testimony shows bureaucracy at its worst. $245,000 for total fees that have to do with legal services, 16% plus staff time, I think is way too high. There seems to be a problem with the relationship with Friends of the Gorge and the Gorge Commission and staff. There should be no special meetings with Friends of the Gorge or preference to their testimony input at meetings. It's obvious that those don't live in the Gorge are not regulated and have little or no concern for those who do. It makes me wonder maybe how they would feel if they were under the same rules. They might not think they were so good. I will support the budget, but if they come back next time and I'm on this committee, there is one instance where I think they have failed their duty, I will not ever again vote for that budget.
Good comments, Representative Krieger. Representative Krupp, your objection is noted. Is there further objections? With the noted objection, the motion passes. And I will release Senator Hennigan.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us.
Before we
Senator Ferriola.
Close on the record, colleagues, the to typify this, the history of this agency as anything other than torture would be not to do it justice. My work in the last 5 years in the legislative process has been to try to honor the purposes of the Scenic Area Act, but to make sure that the Columbia River Gorge Commission serves people and listens. And, you know, to do that, it's been a long, hard road. And the bottom line is people didn't even have a clear definition of what it is. We had to fight to get even a clear definition of what is the commission and how does it relate to the act. Those are all, you know, I think those battles are behind us largely. I think the thing that is ahead of us now is the concept that legislative oversight will improve the listening skills and the customer service and still not lose sight of the reasons that the scenic area was enacted by Congress. And that's the challenge that I've asked the leadership of the legislature to confer onto this committee or various members here. And I've asked essentially for this committee to have legislative oversight. It's probably unusual that a fiscal committee would have legislative oversight, but our legislative oversight is connected to our budgetary sharing, so maybe it's not inappropriate. I want to thank Ken Rocco for 5 years of diligence in helping me root out the solutions to and some routes to solving problems, and the chair for indulging me in this budget. I have been beaten about the head and shoulders in the last legislative session for bringing a budget that more or less fully funded the Gorge Commission over the objections of the co-chairs and over the objections of the majority leader of the House. She was particularly upset with this budget. But we got it anyway. I think we've made a lot of progress. We need to make a lot more. I think if we join with our colleagues in the Washington State Legislature and listen hard, we'll see the improvements that Representative Krieger talked about, and I hope we can do that. I want to thank the chair for her indulgence.
Thank you. I would like to ask Representative Hansen to carry this bill in the House, and Senator, if you would carry it on the Senate floor and also in the full committee.
I will do both, ma'am, and if in answer to Representative Nolan's bill or question, this is my take on that.
The entire
$72.
Before I adjourn the committee, I'd just like to make some general comments to the director. And this has been an interesting experience for me because when I sat on this committee in the last legislative session, the public input portion of the hearing that we had was much, much more volatile than this hearing. And I left that hearing with a really bad taste in my mouth. And in fact, Senator Ferrioli had to remove me from the Ways and Means Committee because I refused to vote for the budget in the last session. And so when I came into this process, I wasn't very sympathetic to the Gorge Commission. But what changed my mind was the rudiments of the information that you brought us as to how you were turning around things like the backlog in applications and the amount of litigation that you were doing in relation to the amount of mediation that you were doing, and the much less volatile tenor of the public hearing this time. And I think that we've tried to set up a series of budget notes and oversight that will hopefully move the commission to a place where they will real seriously address the customer service aspects of the mission that they have. And I think I've already said to you that as legislators, the one thing that we very, very much dislike is to have constituents calling us with issues about being mistreated and feeling like they're not being heard and respected in the process. And I think that I would concur with Representative Krieger's point that he made, that when we hear this budget again in the next legislative session, we need to see a continuing improvement in the area of your customer relations, how you serve the people of the Gorge. And I think that we've pointed the direction in trying to get some rational and realistic benchmarks to judge progress against. And I think that also if we are successful in forming an oversight committee of members of the Oregon Legislature, that the Gorge Commission and the employees of the organization will work closely with that oversight committee to help move along the whole issue of how the Gorge is perceived by the people that live in the Gorge. And I think that all of us recognize the huge natural beauty and the huge resource that's there, but we are also very sensitive to private property rights and to the need for people to be respected by the processes that we mandate that they become involved in. And I would be very gratified if those were tasks that the commission took to heart over the next 2 years.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
As this director will be leaving for another position, I would recommend that your closing statement be transcribed and made available to the incoming director.
Further comments?
Madam Chair.
Representative Nolan.
It's customary to let the chair have the final word, and I'm sorry to follow you. But I haven't heard any recognition yet of the extensive testimony we heard yesterday of people and local governments and property owners in the Gorge area who support the commission and the budget that was requested. And I think we do them a disservice who took the time out of their work days and away from their families to come and spend several hours here in Salem to tell us that they support the work that the commission is doing. I think we have identified some areas that the commission needs to put some energy into improving. I think we need to recognize, as Senator Ferrioli already has done, the massive progress that they have already made. I think we also have to recognize that while we should encourage them in their efforts to be fair and open and reasonable and approachable, it is almost impossible, given the nature of the task they have from the federal legislation, that they always leave 100% of the people happy with the decisions that they make. They should be satisfied with the process, but if we expect that 100% of the people who they have contact with or jurisdiction over will be happy with their decisions, we set ourselves up for an impossible expectation, and we set the commission up for an impossible expectation. I've served on regulatory boards, and I think the boards I've served on do a very good job of being fair and reasonable, but we have people leaving those hearings unhappy with the decisions we make, and we have to expect that that is just a part of the business. It doesn't mean they don't do it respectfully, but we have to recognize that.
Good point. Representative Hanson.
Well, I probably can't add a whole lot new. Torturous, I think, was the key word. And there was incredible hostility from people in the gorge, property rights advocates in the gorge, at the establishment of the scenic area. And we see a lot of that hasn't went away. I don't think those particular people will probably ever be terribly happy with the process, or even, and certainly not with the decision. I think we're seeing the right direction in terms of a better use of mediation. I think there's also there was also an arrogance that surrounded some of the people that worked real hard to establish the scenic area. And I think that's been a collision course in a real dynamic that's covered this area since its inception. The types of things that we lay down in the budget notes, the better use of mediation, the performance standards, I think will go a long ways towards helping to break down that hostility and the dynamic. But it's Nolan's right, it's not going away in 2 years, and there'll still be problems, but we ought to be able to keep it going in the right direction. And again, it's going to take a lot of time before it solved completely.
Thank you. The Mr. Rocco, would you like to give us a look at what we're going to be getting ourselves into next week? And we also should note that we've managed to avoid another Friday meeting. We will not be meeting tomorrow.
That's right, Madam Chair. There's no meeting scheduled for tomorrow. Next week, the week will be taken up by public hearings on the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and the use of ballot measure $66 that's in the governor's recommended budget for that agency.
Are there any further comments?
That would be otherwise known as the backfill ballet, Madam Chairman.
The good senator is so eloquent.
Before the committee, the meeting is adjourned.